Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We got sagacity tonight with...
We got sagacity? We've got sagacity every night, Terry.
Does anybody have any pills for that? That's a bad start. I am Terry D. Kester, and across from me sits...
Mark Levine.
And Garland Nixon.
And good evening, all, and good evening, gentlemen. It's good to see you again, as always. This is the Raucous Caucus. We are broadcasting from the studio tonight, which means that about approximately 30 minutes from now, we'll open the phone lines, and we'll get you on the phone so you can tell us what's going on in your world, and I'll tell you what's going on in our world. You know, the reason I'm beginning to think that America is becoming, or has become, guys, a cruel country.
Cool?
Cruel. C-R-U-E-L.
Oh, I thought you meant it was cool in here.
It's cool in here, too. But, you know, once we get a fire going in the studio, it'll be fine.
I think it started coming on somewhere around 16...
I was just going to say...
Bring the first slave over, Mark.
1492. Actually, the Native Americans killed each other, too. I'd say we've always been a cruel country, Terry.
Okay, well, then there goes that dream.
We're just going downhill. How's that, Terry? We'll take that. From bad to worse.
Downhill since the 60s. I'll give you that.
And I also know, and I think you guys know, and I think probably our listeners know, that capitalism actually has a rather cruel inherent side to it. And I don't know, there's so many things that are hitting you and me and everybody else in this country from the left and the right, and I don't mean left and the right politically, but I mean just getting punch drunk here. You know, that's going on economically that's just damn near... I can't say that, sorry. Darn near impossible.
Terry, I told you not to have that martini before you got on air. I mean, really, it's...
It's... I know. But, you know, I had to get something to get past the downer that I had. Never mind. Right. But I'll give you an example. I don't know if you guys saw the health section in the Washington Post today. Today. You donate a kidney, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you give a kidney,
haven't yet. I still got two.
Yeah. Okay, good. But if you do that, guess what? In America, you can't get insurance after that.
Wow!
Oh, that's
do you
nice.
Believe that?
Wow! You give up a life.
You save a life. You give up one of your kidneys.
You risk your own health.
You don't get insurance.
Well, you know the old saying, Terry: no good deed goes unpunished.
Apparently not. Not in this country. And it's just you know.
Now, if you steal a kidney. If you put someone under...
Well, then you can get insurance.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
and
no
if you
problem.
Get, the people who steal the kidney get
sure,
insurance,
right.
But the people who got the kidney
right.
stolen from them...
And if
no.
you get caught, right. you, then you go to jail and you got single payer.
You got that.
Think about it.
Hey!
It works.
What a
so
system.
So it's better
what
to
a
steal
system.
A kidney than
what
give a kidney.
Or if you get, like, cancer or something and you don't have insurance, just still go rob a bank or beat up... Just
well,
beat up a politician. You'll go to jail.
And you'll get some psychic benefits.
It's not going to even do you any good if you beat up a politician and, you know, start... Because... another little story that's real interesting. There is a particular cancer. I forget which one it is. It's quite fatal for the most part.
Right.
And there's a particular drug. It's a generic drug that only costs about $12 that is crucial in treating this type of cancer. Well, in the United States of America, you can't get that drug.
It costs $12,436?
They're no longer manufacturing it here. Because
what,
it's not
you know
profitable. I don't remember the name of it. Again, it's in the science section of the Washington Post.
Terry, you should bring these things to the studio.
Hey, pick up a newspaper and read. What can I tell you? You know, I know it's a new concept.
That's asking a lot, Terry.
Yeah, I know. It's a new
read.
Concept for
you
some of you.
You should see my house. It's full of newspapers.
Okay.
I promise you.
Okay. But, I mean, because it doesn't make enough profit. Now, this is not happening in any other country in the world. Not even happening. I heard a doctor today talking about it. Doctors from Lebanon. You're going to get better cancer treatment in Lebanon than you are in the United States of America because this drug is not being manufactured because it's not profitable. The companies can't make enough money, so screw you, let you die.
Yeah, it reminds me, there's this group that now I can't remember the name. But
you should bring a paper.
Well, no, but I didn't know you were going to talk about this. But they did a 60 Minutes piece on it in 08 called Lifeline. You can look it up. But what they do is this group used to go into third world countries that didn't have adequate health care. They would come and they would set up shop for a day or two or three, and people would come in and they would treat people. And then they found we need that in the United States.
Oh, yes. I've seen that report.
So now they do 60% of the work in the United States. They go to Knoxville, Tennessee. They go to Blythe, Virginia. And people drive hundreds and hundreds of miles for the chance to be
and
seen
thousands
by
of
a
people.
Doctor.
Thousands of
That's
people.
That's right.
Oh,
thousands of people that they treat in only 2 days. It's an amazing thing.
It's a frightening thing. It's a tragic thing. And I'm grateful for them.
Other countries actually take care of their people.
What a concept.
Yeah.
What a concept.
The other thing.
And there's a million other things to do. I mean, all of you guys, my main point that I want to discuss today is, what is happening to us? Two points, actually. One is economically, and secondly, is what can we do about it? And I think John Conyers last week told us what we can do about it, and I think we ought to find some way for us, to make this happen. But, I've just gone through the income tax thing. I bet you have. I don't want to get too sidetracked on taxes, except that our system is so corrupted, it's incredible. I mean, right now, the code itself is like 72,000 pages. Because I've been self-employed or self-unemployed or both, my tax for practically making nothing, was like 93 pages long. I mean, it's ludicrous. And at the same time, you may have heard this amazing statistic, 47% of Americans do not pay any taxes.
Well, see, Terry, your problem...
Income taxes.
Income taxes.
That's a very important teaching, because Fox News will say that all the time.
Yeah, but income
taxes. Pay payroll taxes and sales taxes.
Yeah, but they don't pay income taxes.
Well, see, Terry, you should have had the foresight to have been born the son of a billionaire. And then you wouldn't have to go through all of that because you'd be paying no taxes.
And your account would handle it.
Yeah, I didn't want to let this out, but I am Donald Trump's long-lost illegitimate son. And I just can't wait for him to be president of the United States.
You need to go to the National Enquirer now because that's a million cold cash.
And so that means that you support seizing the Libyan oil fields and the Iraqi oil fields.
No. I just support Daddy.
Texas oil fields. I don't know.
But I really am getting concerned about all of this. I mean, and I hate to admit this on the air, but I've reached that age where I'm looking at and in dealing with Social Security and Medicare. It's cruel. Not Medicare itself. But because of, the drug plans and the supplemental plans, the giveaways to the insurance companies, even after doing research, even after working with some experts, on what I should do and what I can do, and what I can do for it financially, there are 27 different plans that I've got to look at.
Right. And
every
Ryan
one of which is different.
There's enough. See, that's the difference.
Good.
Paul Ryan says that Medicare is too simple. And what we have to do, according to him, is allow, basically get the government out of it.
Yeah,
and
more insurance
companies. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plans, including, fly-by-night plans and Joe's Healthcare.
That's the one I was going
to
use.
Don't go to Joe's Healthcare. Because, I know he'll give you that free oil change with the healthcare.
Yeah, right.
But I got to tell you, when you actually get sick, Joe's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And that's what they want because they're what Paul Ryan says is that any 83-year-old disabled going blind person with cancer should be able to make the choice among the hundreds of thousands of private plans and choose the right one, just like we do in Congress. We who have staff to look that up.
Just to keep us rolling on all of this, I have a friend who gave me this. This may surprise you, maybe not. Right now in Virginia, there are over 20,300 homeless children.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. There's millions of homeless children and more every day.
Is America a cruel country or what? I mean, homeless children that we're doing nothing about?
Even worse, Terry. Let me say this. Even worse. While, their homelessness is growing, homeless children, all this is growing, and the debate has become, this is what just frost my cookies. And I hate when my cookies are frosted.
Well, I know we can't use any profanity.
I like frosted cookies.
Yeah, we get a little more.
That's kind of strange.
But at any rate, is that
this
debate
is Easter season.
Now,
people frost their cookies.
Yes. The debate is how much more can we give to the wealthy?
Right.
And how much more
they
we
deserve
take
it
from the poor? That's the debate. To
That's
talk
what
about
the Ryan
cruelty. Meanwhile, it's interesting. I listened to the Barack Obama speech today, and one of the things that he said was very, very interesting. He said, went on about the Republicans want to do this, and the Democrats want to do this. He said the Republicans want to take away health care, et cetera. He says, and if your voice is not heard, they'll get away with it. He said, I need you to help me What's interesting is...
That's good.
Yes. But what's interesting is here, it's something that we've been talking about.
Right. And you better believe it.
For years.
And he even said... Someone, you know, Google and get the exact text of the speech.
You should
speech
have brought a
there.
Newspaper.
You're right. That wasn't in there. It was too late. But what he said was the equivalent of, and pretty directly, I need you to go out and make me do it.
We've got to do that.
So he's saying, a lot of people are sitting down, they said, hey, Barack Obama, you're, okay, you're elected. And then they looked at him a year later and they said, where's that change I ordered?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where's that change I ordered?
The spare change.
The
spare change, yeah.
I've been sitting there doing nothing for 3 years and now I don't want the president.
Well, what do we have to do, Terry?
Well, we're going to get to that.
I just want to
keep this rolling on, because I know our listeners are facing all of this stuff, and I know they're frustrated too. One of them that really drives me in crazy, now maybe you guys got some, secret insight on this that I don't know about. I do the food shopping for our family. Mm. And I know a fact that there's been incredible inflation in the last year and a half or so. The government keeps on telling us there is no inflation. I know for a fact that every kind of product or food that you buy is in a smaller container while the price has gone up. I went into the market this last week and I saw on three or four items that I was buying a 50% increase. And yet they're telling me there's no inflation.
Well, that's because wages are down, so there's no inflation of wages. Home prices are down, so there's no inflation of home prices.
Oh, it equalizes.
But just fuel and food and your daily needs.
Don't tell me about fuel. I almost ran out of gasoline on my motorcycle. I had to stop at a gas station. Unfortunately, it has to use premium. I paid $4.69 for premium. I was upset until I was coming down Rock Creek Parkway, just before Rock Creek Parkway, by the Kennedy Center. It's at Exxon Station there with the Primo location in Wall of Washington. $4.99.
But here's the thing.
No, I'll take that back. It was $4.99 for regular. It was $5.16 for premium. And just to give you an idea how screwed up things have become, guess what? Because I just have a friend that was over there. Guess what they pay for gas in Bahrain?
They don't pay for gas in Bahrain. It's given to them.
26 cents a gallon.
Okay.
They're paying, isn't that what they're paying in Iraq also?
26 cents a gallon. Do you see some kind of problem going on here? I mean, is there a distribution capitalist screw up kind of thing happening here?
It also suggests that maybe we shouldn't be relying on Bahrain for our energy.
Hey,
needs.
That's where we got the Fifth Fleet. We've got to, we love them, But I mean, all of this is just, it's just piled up on me in the last few weeks. I mean, the tax situation, trying to select Medicare, trying to figure out Social Security, trying to figure out how to survive, trying to shop, trying to do all of this.
Well Terry, the Republicans are going to make it really easy for you. They're going to take away your Social Security.
Yeah.
They're going to take away your Medicare.
Okay.
They're going to take away your home.
Okay.
Donald Trump only has 9 homes. He needs a 10th.
That's sad.
And according to the Republicans, right now, as
I'm feeling better already.
Right now, 50% of Americans have nothing. If you look at the nation's wealth, more than 99% is for half of us. And 90% of us, all 90% of us, have only a third of the nation's income. The top 1% has one third. The next second through 10% has the next third. So
that's equal, isn't it? One third, one third, and one third?
Right. 1%, yeah, right. 1 in 100 has one third, 900 has another third, and the other 90 have the third third. So the Republican plan is that you're too wealthy, Terry. And so what they're going to do
I would agree with that.
Give millionaires and billionaires a greater tax cut, again, the Republican plan, they're going to lower the top rate from 35% to 25%.
Good. Yeah,
and
help.
To pay for that, all they have to do is take away all that Medicare, all that Medicare Social Security money that you socked away your entire life and paid your FICA plan, all of us did too. Well, you know what? Donald Trump needs it, and he's going to take it, and the Republicans want that. And here's the best part about it.
Oh, good.
Poor people all across the nation, in states like my home state of Tennessee, are going to vote to allow the Republicans to steal their money and give it to rich people.
Well,
they're actually going to drive their own stake in their own heart.
Well, here's what I'm wondering, and that is, Terry is 100% on the money when he's talking about what's happening. You go to the grocery store, you go, and what's happening is this. And I guarantee there are a lot of our listeners who are facing the same thing
right
now.
I'm sure of it.
Of course.
It's, we're hitting critical mass.
There are
a lot of people who considered themselves middle class people who could, take a vacation and who could, let's say, do things like pay their gas and electric bill, for God's sake, on a consistent basis. A lot of people who felt they were living a fairly reasonable, they had some comfort and they knew what was going on and they had their bills on auto pay and things like that, who now are at critical mass saying, things have gone up so much. The American dream has gone from, having a nice home and everything. The American dream is now can I make it next month?
You better
so
believe it.
So there's so many people living saying, can I make it next month? And the answer is no. And I say it's just a matter of time. When people get to that point
before they
totally freak out.
That's why I wanted to bring this up and get our listeners' input, because this is exactly what I'm experiencing at this point, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, too.
Oh, yeah, most.
I mean, how do you hang on, even?
I want to throw out some historic economic statistics real quick.
This is really bad.
From the 40s to the 70s.
Yep.
We did okay. I don't remember this time. But from the 40s to the 70s, interestingly enough, the bottom 20% of America, the poorest 20%, and the middle 20% of America actually had a greater increase in their income than the richest 20%. Is that hard to imagine?
Yeah.
Actually, the poor and the middle class.
Oh, the Great Society, FDR, imagine that.
They
about doubled.
Union.
They got about 110%, and the richest income only went up 90%.
Oh, that's sad.
That's right.
That's
so it's slightly less.
And unions were at their strongest.
Yeah,
from
right.
the 70s to today. And in fact, interesting, most the worst two decades were, of course, the 80s and the zeros.
From 76
Reagan's
specifically.
Era and Bush's
that.
Era.
Been going
coincidence.
Down.
What happened is the top 10% got richer, and every single person in the bottom 90% did worse.
That's right.
I mean, not only didn't achieve as much as the top, they all didn't achieve as much as the top 10%, but the median wage, the guy in the middle.
Yeah, kept on going down.
Down.
Since 1976, it's been going down.
Since the 70s, they didn't do as well as the rich. Uh-huh. But since the zeros, it's actually decreased.
And now the prices are skyrocketing.
But Republicans think that it hasn't decreased enough.
Well, I know.
And Reagan was a great president, remember?
Right.
There's one other thing I just want to throw in this, too, because I'd sort of forgotten this in the chaos of everything else that's going on. But you probably know this too, and you know, just to remind our listeners, insurance companies are not bound by the Sherman Antitrust Act.
That's true.
Are excluded.
Imagine that.
Isn't that convenient? You know, I mean, you know,
although to Obama the Democrats' credit, once the full Affordable Health Care Act comes into play, that will no longer be true for health insurance companies. So that's actually
in the new bill, it's going to happen. Yeah,
2014, okay. Unless the Republicans repeal it or something.
Okay. So here's the next question, guys. I mean, you know, we painted a pretty dark picture right now because it is
a pretty dark picture.
Yeah. You know,
we have a firm grasp of reality.
Yeah,
how's that?
You know, and we've talked about it. You know, on taking it to the streets and everything else. John Conyers supported the idea and said, "There's one
the official hero."
For those who don't know, he's the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman John Conyers. He was on our show last week, and he was amazing.
He was wonderful.
And even more importantly, he's now the official hero of the Raucous Caucus.
That's right. And even more than that, he's getting buttons made saying he is the first official hero of the Raucous Caucus. That's right. We nominated him. The audience agreed, and there it was.
He graciously accepted.
But you know, there's one key thing. There's one essential thing in this country that is causing all of this. Now, I know it's a little bit of a simplification, but it's connected to everything that's happening.
One thing? It's a simplification?
One thing. It is simply the way we finance campaigns. All of the special interest deductions that are in the income tax code are because of political contributions.
Yep. Yep.
All of the screw up with the Medicare supplemental plans by the insurance companies, a gift to them, is because of campaign contributions.
Pharmaceutical companies, corporate welfare,
All of this is about, I mean, even things, you know, as going on with the airlines, going on with the FAA, all of this is influenced by campaign contributions and controlled by.
Well, I missed that one. How are sleeping air traffic controllers caused by contributions? You missed me there.
Well, we got rid of the union, don't you recall?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you know, and we got all that support for that, and we just created absolute chaos that we still haven't recovered from. And now the people that stepped in, you know, it all comes back to this one specific fact. And to my surprise, and I'm not going to endorse him yet, but I wrote you guys about this. I heard a speech, not a speech, but an interview on C-SPAN with Governor Buddy Romer. He is the first, if not the only, candidate. He's Republican now, former Democrat. You know, he is the first candidate to stand up and say that is the problem.
Well, of course it is, because bribery is legal in America.
Yeah. And If we don't stop...
He better watch his back.
No, listen, bribery is legal in America. Right now, if you give money to a politician, you only do it... I mean, look, like a corporation. Mm-hmm. If they give money to a politician and they don't think it will influence the politician, it's a waste of assets.
Well, of course.
They should be fired. Stupid. They're just throwing money away. Yeah. They should be fired. That is incredibly unlikely. But in case it doesn't affect the politician, let's face it, they've thrown their money away and they should be thrown out of the board for that. If they do think it's affecting it, then that's bribery. I don't care whether it's legal or not. I call it bribery when you pay a politician to get something back.
And if you look at, I'm not exaggerating, if you look at almost, and I think every piece of legislation that has screwed the American public for the last 30, 40 years, if you look at it, it is directly tied to corporate interest. And the only way, as you point out, Mark, that the corporate interest can succeed is by campaign contributions. They have driven up the cost of campaigns to the nth degree because it's a huge industry for the television networks, which are now, as you know, all privately owned by corporations anyway.
Right.
Not privately owned, but owned by corporations as opposed to being independent agencies.
I think they're actually all owned by like one corporation.
Yeah,
or we're close to that anyway.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I mean, if you know, and I asked John Conyers, and you guys probably recall last week, I asked him, you know, what is the one thing we have to do? And he jumped right in there. The one thing we have to do is stop. Is to get public financing for our elections.
Works in England. Go ahead.
Works in England, works in Europe, now, works in Australia.
Now, let me throw this in. I agree with you, Terry. Now, let me go to the next, step back and say this. But it ain't going to happen. And we all know that. Right or wrong? I mean, the reality is... now, let me change this.
I disagree.
Not in the near future.
I disagree.
Based on the way things are going right now, it's not going to happen in the foreseeable future. However, that's where I go back in, and people are calling me, you know, the sky is falling, and you know, and I'm saying things like that, and people are saying, you're going too far. The direction that we're going in, you cannot maintain a civil society when you have the wealth income gap that we have.
It's the
people
most simple sociological fact.
What happens in the
world.
Third world? That's
people
what makes us into a third world country.
Getting to a point where they're watching a few people live like
walk
the
away
earls and the dukes and the queens,
right. Including half the people in Washington D.C. At least the politicians and lobbyists.
The majority of us out there, the majority of us out there are peasants, barely able to make it. And at some point, the peasants pick up the pitchforks and torches. And they can't take it anymore. And things change. Look what happened in Egypt. There was no violence. Everybody got to the point where they couldn't take it anymore. I say, sooner or later, the way things are going, Americans, not till they feel enough pain, but it's
they're
going to
feel it because
they're
going to
freak
the
out.
Let
me say this. Can we go five more years in the direction that we're going?
We can't go a couple years.
And our government is...
The one thing Americans have to realize is they are, in the eyes of the wealthy, in the eyes of the big corporations, the American people are disposable people.
Well, they're fuel.
You have to understand
that. Look at
the
fact that they're using Chinese children to create all of our goods. I mean, they're even more disposable. We're going back to the times of slavery. It's the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, and people think slavery is gone. And yet, if you look at the direction of the Republican
Party, just has a different shape and color.
The thing that most...
It's not just Republicans. It's Democrats, too.
No,
I mean, you've got to...
This is where you're wrong, Terry. Let me get my point
because
in.
Because we're going to that one point, which is campaign finance reform,
you're
and
right
the Democrats
about,
are as guilty in
no,
that as anybody
not,
else.
They're not. Look, here's the problem. And it's a problem with what you're saying as well.
Mark and I are going to duke it out here.
We will duke it out. And it's why we're not Egypt and we're not there yet. The peasants with the pitchforks, that is the American people.
That would be me and Terry.
Half of them, all right, don't believe that the Republican Party is trying to take their income away and give it to the wealthy. That's why polls show as the economy gets worse, as it's bad, people blame President Obama. So here's what they do. They're saying, oh no, the house is on fire, the water's not working, we need more gasoline. And so they're going to the Republicans who want to take away their last bit of income and give it to the wealthy and say, please make our economy better. People are being tricked, they're being deluded, they're not listening to WPFW, and I gotta tell you, half the country actually believes that gasoline is what's going to stop this fire, and therefore...
Gasoline's going to stop the fire.
They do. They think that as the economy gets worse, they're blaming Obama and the Democrats, who are not perfect.
I don't agree. I don't agree. One thing. I mean, the campaign financing problem is what is the underlying cause of all of this.
Absolutely. But
and at the same time, the anger in America is becoming so universal. It truly is. Now, yes, it's going to – you can't have smooth, gentle anger. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And, yes, they're being misled. And, yes, they're being confused.
But they're taking on the wrong people,
and, yes,
Terry.
They're taking on the wrong people. But it is changing. I mean, you know, for Romer, for instance, to come out as the first announced – I guess Mitt Romney has too – you know, announced Republican candidate for president, he's going to drive home this point constantly. You know, I mean, so people are beginning to –
Mitt Romney? What are you talking about?
Romer.
Romer's not running for president.
What?
Is Romer running for president?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
He's running for president?
Yes.
Governor Romer of Colorado?
Yes. No, not of Colorado, of Mississippi or Louisiana. I forget which one.
Mississippi's Haley Barbour.
Yeah. That's Haley Barbour.
No, that's current. This is former.
Oh, okay.
Buddy Romer.
All right.
Oh, Buddy Romer. President Buddy Romer.
Yeah.
That's a funny name.
Well, we had you know, Bubba.
Yeah. And he's for campaign finance reform?
He is screaming about it.
Well, you know what, Terry?
And
if he gets
Republican.
0.1% of the Republican primary vote, I will be shocked.
And he
won't get it.
He also is not accepting corporate financing.
Yeah.
He is asking the same as Feingold did. He is asking for $100 contributions for individuals.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, the point is we got to listen to this guy. You know,
yeah, he'll last listening. About as long as the Titanic.
You know something? Something that happened actually that kind of supports both of what you guys are saying, and that's the Tea Party. And let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because
don't go away, Ray, Jim, Tesla. We're going to get to you.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I give out the numbers for
202-588-0893. And we've got three people waiting. We'll probably have to go right to the break, but we're going to stay with us. We're going to get to you.
The Tea Party. What's interesting is the Republican Party is split now along socioeconomic. They will never tell you this on TV, along socioeconomic lines.
That's right.
Even the Republicans realize that their wealthy leaders were given in the shaft, so much so that they separated from the wealthy corporatists that were running the Republican Party. However, as Mark said, they're so misguided that they've got the Koch brother billionaires putting them on buses, sending them to their doom, I might add. When you think that a bunch of billionaires are giving you a free ride and giving you a free lunch because they're looking out for you,
But you know, problems. I mean, I know you guys have frequently, you know, very erroneously, very, very, very erroneously, occasionally hinted that I might be a pessimist. I actually see a glimmer.
I just call you Cassandra. That's all good.
I see a glimmer of hope here. If you've got John Conyers and Romer, and if you can get Republican and Democrat saying the same thing.
Romer has no following, Terry.
Today, he's got my following right now. I'm going to interview him. I'm going to get him on the various shows.
Dream the impossible dream.
Hey,
it is a good thing.
The dialogue is changing.
Yeah.
The dialogue is changing. There are some Republicans and some Democrats who are saying, believe it or not, the same thing. There ain't many of them, but they are saying it. It is campaign finance reform, which is essential. And that's a phenomenal change. 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't believe you could find any Republican that would say that. Now there is. And I know there are some more, and I'm hearing it more from other people, just not political people, but just other people I know. So there's going to be anger. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be struggle. But that doesn't mean that something good can't come from it.
Liberals and people on the left have always supported campaign finance reform. Candidate Barack Obama supports President Barack Obama. He does. Now, he can't get it through Congress. Look, we have tried. Look, we had McCain-Feingold, right, which was nowhere near where it should be. But it was a step towards the right direction.
So we should have elected McCain, right?
And what happened? The Supreme Court, controlled by five lawless right-wing conservatives, lawless. The people who chose the Bush to be president, even when people voted for Gore, will say lawless. Yeah. They said, we can't allow the corporations to lose out to the American people.
Well, money is free.
Because we all know when the Constitution says we the people, it really meant we the corporations.
Right.
So these five lawless men, and they're all men in black robes, said, sorry.
And black hats.
Black hats?
Never mind. Just keep going. It's not often I get to stop
Here's
Mark Cole. You know, I like
that. Well, because I had no idea what you were talking about. All right. My point is this. Even when we took some tiny step towards public financing of campaigns, tiny step.
We got to take a break.
Supreme Court killed it.
We're going to take a break. This is WPFW. This is the Raucous Caucus. We'll be right back with you, the listeners, and us in a minute.
WPFW Local Station Board will host a town hall meeting on Thursday, April 21st, 2011, from 7 to 9 p.m. The purpose of the town hall is for our listeners to tell the board and station management how your community radio station is meeting your needs. We want to hear from you how to make the station even stronger and more vibrant. Join WPFW's local station board on Thursday, April 21st, starting at 7 p.m. at the Silver Spring Civic Building, located at One Veterans Place at the intersection of Fenton Street and Ellsworth Street in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. It is a short walk from the Silver Spring Metro stop and accessible from several bus lines. There is also free parking. This activity is not sponsored by, associated with, or endorsed by Montgomery County Government. Into the night and back to the Raucous Coffee.
And we are back to the calm, thoughtful, serene.
Terry, we're hanging out in this jobless recovery.
Yeah, Raucous Caucus here on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. And again, it's a privilege, as always, to be talking to you. And I'm Terry D. Kester with
Mark Levine
and Garland Nixon. And now it is time for you, listeners. Thank you so much for your patience.
Give us the number so people can join.
Yeah, just in case, you know, there's other callers out there. 202-588-0893. We want to hear, one, about your opinions on campaign finance reform. Two, about the struggle you may be facing, because it's becoming almost universal for the middle class and for most of us.
The former middle class.
Yeah, right. Okay, Ray, you are on the air. Thank you for joining us on the Raucous Caucus.
Terry, you started off by talking about the number of children in D.C.
In Virginia.
And it was kind of dismissed.
Homeless.
Not in a deliberate way. It was kind of dismissed as, you know, we know this and blah, 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 and there are millions of, you know, if that many children are starving homeless in Virginia, that tells you right there that we have an epidemic that we're not addressing.
I agree with you completely.
Campaign financing, it's not going to be addressed. It's not a critical mass of people that are going to do it. And where are the average Americans now? The average American now is broken. They're broken.
Yeah.
They're treading water in the Atlantic Ocean, and they can't see the shore.
That's right.
Can't fight. They're not cheap. They're not stupid. They're drowning. Terry, I'm more pessimistic than you.
I'm more realistic
than you, because I'm a historian and I'm an imperialist. This thing where we are today, nothing like this has ever happened before. And listen,
that's not true.
We had the Great Depression.
It was different.
They will continue to allow people from other countries who are our friends, they're not our enemies, but they will allow them to come here. Again, in Mexico, minimum wage is $5 a day. So the Republicans will pretend that they hate immigrants, and they will let the floodgates open at night so that they can get the cheapest labor that they can get. And this is not a stab at my Hispanic friends. I want them to come. I want them to do well. But what I'm saying is, the middle class, and keep in mind the aging demographics of America.
But Ray, hang on one second. You know, I mean, I know you've got various issues here introducing, but don't you believe too that there is a point? There is always a point, whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Syria, wherever it is, there's a point where people get pushed. Yes, they may be treading water. They might even be drowning, but there's a point where people come together and they start to move. Do you not believe that?
Yes and no, and I'll answer that very succinctly. When we talk about Egypt, let's understand what Egypt is.
Well, let's not go that far.
Egypt is a military that simply had a country, and the people got tired of the military in that country.
America is
a corporation that has a country.
It's a good point.
Let me say a couple things, Ray.
I've got to get on. We've got so many callers waiting, and I really, really thank you for your ideas and for calling, and I thank you for your patience.
Just real quick.
Mark?
I think that, frankly, the illegal immigrants that come here and undercut labor are far less dangerous to American labor than the jobs overseas. The fact that half of our stuff is made in China by nine-year-olds, 12-year-olds working in factories under unbelievable conditions, really slave-like conditions. It's the jobs overseas that are far more dangerous than even the people that come across the border.
Do you know what the new term for that is, by the way, for all this?
For outsourcing?
For outsourcing and for sending your money abroad and sending all your factories abroad. It's no longer offshore. It's best shore.
Oh, my God.
Don't you love that? Isn't that
I call it anti-American.
It is anti-American.
If you're a billionaire, it's best for you.
I think it's unpatriotic, and we should call it unpatriotic. Yeah. And I think that we should tax heavily companies that do it. People are like, well, you know, if we tax them too much in America, they'll just go elsewhere.
They already went elsewhere.
Then let's tax them elsewhere.
Yeah, they're already elsewhere.
Very simple.
Let's get another caller in here, and thank you again for your patience. And we have Jim. Jim, join us on the Raucous Caucus.
Well, greetings, the best radio show in America.
Thank you, Jim.
Call back and say that anytime you want.
We like you, Jim.
Yeah.
First, I just want to say that I have evidence that Donald Trump, I have his birth certificate in front of me, was born in the same city as Vladimir Lenin, then immigrated right near Fidel Castro's hometown. I just want to let you know that before I get off.
I don't know. I think he was born on Mars, but we'll have to check
with that,
that
hair,
out.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
In
anyway.
All seriousness, first of all, all of you are, as always, are correct and right on. What I want to suggest is this one concept that's called being a solutionary, that i.e. coming up with solutions.
I like that term.
Yeah, solutionary. First of all, Congressman John Conyers came up with several solutions, publicly financed campaigns, universal single payer. Healthcare works in every single industrialized country in the world. Keeps costs down. No waiting lines. There's just a myth that we have ration care. That's always put forward by billionaire corporations and insurance companies who know it works. But I think, would you guys not agree that perhaps it is time for the reformation of something like a Rainbow Coalition or the African National Congress or Solidarity in Poland? Because it's gotten to a point now where progressive communities, that would be communities of color, students, workers, seniors, that same group that put Obama in the White House, leaders need to meet, and instead of being taillights, be headlights, form an organization, put out a platform. One would be campaign finance reform, universal single payer, jobs for all, green jobs, senior citizens have a security, not social insecurity, but social security that they can live off, like in Europe. Put that forward. That's what the mainstream of America, I think, would be for once they get educated. But we need $10 million in a bank account, an office in D.C., because if we don't counter the Tea Party and their organization and their money, we're not going to be able to change much of anything. And I'll close by saying where I'm optimistic, this has already happened. It happened in the labor movement. When corporate America got to the point where why can't leaders come together in D.C. and put that framework?
I don't know if
they
can happen in D.C.
Start moving forward.
But I tell you what my hope and my plan is, and you know, I mean, this is only in the beginning stages, and I can't put much energy into it, and we can't do it. You know, officially, it's not officially part of WPFW. But what I would love to see, and I'm putting this out there, what I would love to see is an event on the Mall. Where we have Conyers, where we have Romer, where we have some of these people who understand the issues, hosted by the Raucous Caucus,
there
or MC'd
hey,
by the Raucous Caucus, you know.
And we need the white working class people. What they used to call the Reagan Democrats. The same people who, frankly, used to join labor unions, and some of them are upset at labor unions because they're doing slightly better because, guess what, they're in a union. Mm. So instead of saying, hey, unions lead the way, which they've always done for all working class people, you know, where do you think overtime began, folks?
Yeah, what do you think?
Now they're complaining that, you're doing better if you're in a union. Well, then, you know what? Join a union. But the thing is that it's these people, the people who I really think are deluded, some of them for racial reasons, some of them for cultural reasons. But we've got to actually, in a weird way, reach out to the Tea Party.
Well, yes, we do. That's part of what I'm saying here.
And grab, because...
Yeah.
The poverty of middle class and working class Americans is not restricted simply to progressive.
I want to pick up one more thing there. You know, the Tea Partiers, they're not stupid human beings. They may be misled. They may be misinformed. They may be scared, you know, et cetera, and acting out of fear. But they're not stupid. If they, you know, if we could get a demonstration on the Mall, march on the White House, march on the Capitol. I mean, if we could set that up and get that going with some of these people who do understand the issues, I think everybody from Wisconsin would come.
I would.
Everybody from Ohio would come.
I know we got to get back to the callers, yeah. But they're
don't
the,
go away.
That'll be the lone voice that says I would disagree. Because I see the here's the part I disagree with the Tea Party, because I view the Tea Party as the far right. I don't see the Tea Party as the people within the Tea Party. I don't see them as, and the Tea Party is very, very small. The name is very, very big. They get a lot of airplay, but they're actually very small. I don't see the people in the Tea Party ideologically as people who can be bargained with.
Okay, how about Tea Party sympathizers? What do we call them? Tea Party?
I'm not talking about
the Reagan Democrats.
Because I have friends on the left I know who can't be, you know, they're a single pair of that they're so entrenched in that they can't be bargained with. Because there are people that are ideologically so rigid they can't be bargained with. And I feel like the core of the Tea Party are ideologically right-wing, rigid, radical individualists
We're not going to invite them to the party. But that has nothing to do with the hundreds of thousands of people who are on... They voted with Tea Party or went for it because they were confused and they thought of solutions. Those are people that can be reached, and I really think they can. And I also know there are certainly issues that, you know, we can come together with on other parties, with libertarians, et cetera. But the key issue, which I think very few people could honestly stand up and defend, and it would work with Americans. I doubt you could stand up and say, hey, I really think campaign, you know, bribery, legal bribery, as Mark puts it, is really the best American solution. Well, they just can't say that. And I really do think we could start a movement here. Let's get a call.
We got to go back to our calls, but let me make one statement. I would take the position that rather than reach out to those who don't want to work with us, there are more people who agree with us who are sitting around doing nothing. Instead of reaching out to people who don't agree with us and who are going to fight about it against us internals in the first place, if we could just wake up, the polls say time and time again, if we could just wake up all of those, which is the majority of the American people, who agree with progressive values, even if you don't call, if you call it something else, if we could wake them up and bring them all together, the Tea Partiers and everybody else could do what they want.
And just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, this is, you know, to do a demonstration in this country, unlike Egypt, you know, you got to get a permit
else. For that.
You're going to spend about $50,000 to $100,000 minimum for sound, a lot more if you want jumbotrons, you know, et cetera. It's a very expensive.
Well, having a megaphone, they're cheap.
It's a very expensive operation. We need George Soros. We need some business leaders in this town. We need some people that congressmen can get for us. We need some people to get behind us.
No, we don't. I mean, I'm okay with that if they want to help us. But if a bunch of people want to come out with megaphones and come out and...
Didn't have $1 million in Egypt.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They did, you know, went out and yelled.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but you know what's going to happen. Ask you know, our good, what do you call it?
Look at what Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert did with
the mayor. This is what happens. You don't have a permit. You're arrested immediately.
Right, but
you can get a permit.
That's like 50 bucks.
$50. Yeah, and it ain't easy to get. I've got.
Oh yeah, I got one before. It was easy to get.
No, permits are
very easy to get.
That's because you're one of their favorites. I was a struggle for me.
No, I just wandered in there.
That's because you're revolutionary.
Yeah. No, actually,
Garland has a clean record.
Yeah. It was for the millennium.
Unlike Terry,
he's not one of the most wanted.
Terry, my picture's not like at the post office and
exactly.
You know, the airport.
All right. Thank heavens we have some callers so you guys can shut up. I love you. You know that.
Patient.
All right, Tesfa, sorry to keep you waiting. Thank you for your patience. Speak.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Money could not be found with the federal government. Money could not be found with the state governments. Money could not be found with counties and cities. Money is not there anymore, and people are in trouble.
Yes.
Senior citizens, poor people, people with children, everybody is in trouble.
Yes.
And the people of the third world are also in trouble, serious trouble. But there is money somewhere.
You've noticed.
American taxpayers' money somewhere, accumulating over years, accumulating year by year. And getting interest and sitting in banks and other assets and properties. This money is American money, American people's money. This money is the money Americans gave to the people of the third world. Thank you, the people of America. But that money is sitting somewhere else. Now America, the American people themselves are bankrupt and they need money. We need to share that money. That money is sitting in the bank accounts of dictators all around the world.
All right. I think we struck a nerve today. You know, Tesfa, thank you for your thoughts on that, and thank you for your passion. We expect to see you at the demonstration when we get this thing organized. You know, and you know that's another fact I didn't even want to get into, but I did some research, too, and you know this. I mean, the big banks that were all supposedly in trouble, you know, there's now – they have more control. So I think Bank of America has something like 58% of all the mortgage loans that are out. I mean, it's incredible. They've gotten even more control than we had before.
Let me give out my WPFW email address.
Because I got callers
waiting. GarlandNixon@WPFW.org. If you're interested in working with the Raucous Caucus and putting together, whether it's doing something, fundraising, putting up a
megaphones
website, whatever.
And on
if
the
you're
street.
Willing to work with the Raucous Caucus to put together a rally and
you
make
bet.
Some noise because people are sick and tired of it,
let's do
and
it.
You
want
to do something about
we'll
it,
it, we'll
then
do it.
Let's GarlandNixon@WPFW.org. Email me.
I expect you to be flooded with emails, and we're going to have this thing on the streets by June.
Well, let me spell it. GarlandNixon@WPFW.org. If you're willing to do something, email me.
Yeah.
We'll
okay.
do something.
All right. All right.
Let's see
good.
Who's in, Terry. You're in, Mark?
I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Who's in?
If we don't start the movement, who's going to? I mean, you know, there you have it.
Don't just call on the radio and don't just listen to walk, drive down the street and shake your fist in the air and drive by the Capitol and hang, you know, give them the finger or a raspberry. Email me. Let's get something done.
Well, all right. We're going to make it happen. Jim, welcome again. I hope this is a different Jim. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, Jim. Welcome.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. I agree with everything you said about the Rainbow Coalition, except for the we don't need the Tea Party people.
Hear, hear.
But here's my idea. We have a whole lots and lots of natural resources, wealth in this country that are on public in public lands, underneath public lands. I think this country needs to, the people actually need to start to develop those resources and sell them on the commodities market and use that money to invest in natural and green energy research, invest in building infrastructure. Those things will create jobs. You could create...
Well, one way to do that is simply to raise the royalties because we have corporations that are using our public lands, raping our public lands at for a price of a song,
well,
taking our
well,
national
you know,
forests.
Jim makes a very good point. You know why? Because in Brazil, you know what they do. In Brazil, the oil under Brazil is considered the Brazilian people's oil. So they pump the oil. Yeah, it goes on the... Well, it doesn't even go on the world market. They keep it theirself. People say, drill, baby, drill. When we drill, our oil goes on the world market, and we don't even get it anyway. Not that I'm in favor of more drilling, but what I'm saying is Jim hit the nail on the head.
That's our
this,
oil.
This money, Exxon can come in,
they can pump it out,
and they can sell it, and they can keep it.
The whole system is out of whack. The whole system is stacked at
oil.
This point. To punish the average person and to give it to the few.
Yeah, Donald Trump wants to take Libya's oil. Why does he want to take our oil?
Why don't we start with
taking America's oil for America? That's an idea.
Yeah. You know, I mean, in fact, one other thing. I don't want to get carried away here with Romer, but another thing he suggested there, if he were president, the first thing he would do is put a tariff on all Mideast oil so that we couldn't afford it, so that we'd have to invest in natural gas and alternative energy.
We've needed that for a long time.
But none of these things, again, none of these things can happen or will happen as long as you can bribe every single congressman up there.
Nationalize all our oil wells.
Okay, Steve, you're on the air in the Raucous Caucus. Join us.
What do you think, Mark?
By the way, the number for anybody else still calling in, 202-588.
Disappearance.
Mark, I'm just going to say.
We're trying to give out the phone number here. We're trying to get Steve involved.
Get your phone number.
Would you guys calm down? Breathe. Take a deep breath. There you go. That's good. 202-588-0893. Steve, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hi. First of all, I think the person that said forget about the Tea Party people is absolutely right.
That would be
people
Garland.
That's
absolutely wrong.
Wait a second. Let me finish.
Okay.
You're wrong, but go ahead.
People forget that 25 to 30% of the people in countries like Chile and Argentina, when they became military juntas, supported those juntas.
Yep.
The Tea Party is a right-wing party. But I think what a bigger issue is not campaign finance, which you're not going to change.
You've got to change it.
Nothing
else is going to change.
Let's let our caller finish. Go ahead, Steve. I agree with him, so let him talk.
Okay. You've got a system where five people on the Supreme Court can say yes or no to something.
Okay, so you're saying there's no hope.
You've got a system where the senators that represent 20% of the population can paralyze everything.
Yeah.
And
that's our system.
I think that what the left doesn't, the progressive movement doesn't want to confront, I think we're in a civil war. I think it's them or us. And the idea that we're somehow going to work some kind of negotiated settlement out is nonsensical.
Steve, and I understand what you're saying. You know, if that's true, that is so tragic. I'm not going to be part of it on either side. I'm not going to be part of a civil war in my country. I refuse to do that. I will not do that. I will not be brother against brother.
I think it's a metaphor. He's talking about a metaphor.
I don't know if he didn't sound like a metaphor to me. You know, or just like, you know, the point is not the point is not to negotiate. The point is you either lead people in a positive way or you lead them the way that the Tea Party is leading them.
We need to remind people of our own history. We need to remind people of where we
were. We've done this before.
I forgot who the caller says we haven't been in this place before.
Yeah.
I actually think we have. I think if you look at 1890s America, you know, we have Jim Crow laws for black people.
It.
You have factories where people are expendable, much like the Chinese factories that are making our product today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the Depression in 1929. We have seen this movie
and
before.
What's been
we know what Republicans are trying
to take us.
Let's remind people. I'll tell you what's different. There are very few people alive today in America that remember the Great Depression. Well, that's what's different. If you were an adult in 1929, you'd have to be born in 1929. You'd be 100 years old today. 102.
Yeah, but
we've forgotten our history.
But if we've done it before, we can do it again.
But to go with Steve's argument a little bit more, and that is
Let's not forget
that we had trouble getting into World War II because somewhere around 25% of America supported the Germans.
Well, 25%. Only Henry Ford and Lindbergh.
During the Civil Rights Movement, we had, 30% of America who was strongly against it. Here's the thing about it.
Are you going to give them the lead?
No, here's what I'm saying. Look at the Republican Party right now. They say, we don't bargain. We want everything we want. And the Democrats have like a gang of six or something and bipartisan. We do bipartisan. And they say, you give us what we want or nothing. Here's what I say. And I agree with Steve. There are people in this country politically on the right, yes, some on the left, but on the right is who I'm talking about, who will not be bargained with, who will not do anything bipartisan, who will not bend. And I say, you accept that, and those people, you say, they are my political enemies, and they must be politically crushed, mushed aside, smushed. They got to be put out of the way. I'm saying politically,
they have to run because if you don't do that to them,
they'll do it to you.
No, well,
you
know, no. All you've got to
you
do.
Just
no,
stay
wait,
firm
wait, wait,
in your
wait,
principles.
Wait, 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 wait. No,
all.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but that's all I'm saying.
You know, the way to defeat them.
Don't compromise with anyone who won't compromise with you.
Hear, hear.
The way to defeat them is to create a stronger movement. There's always going to be nutcases out there. There's always going to be fanatics. There's always going to be guys that want to join the Klan or any other racist group they can. There's always guys that want to shoot everybody and everything else. You're never going to get rid of them. I don't expect the human race to become perfect, but I know the majority of the Americans aren't that way. And if we can start a big enough movement to just keep that movement on the outside,
But it will go away eventually.
It's got to be seen as a movement for everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Obama's movement was seen exactly Obama's movement.
Which is why Obama could lead it, and Jesse Jackson couldn't.
Well, Obama can't do it.
Because the candidate Obama. Remember him?
I don't think he can.
It's been three years.
I don't think he can now, and I'll tell you why.
He
can't be led by an insider.
Well, that's
it. Has to be led by an outside, someone outside of the system.
That's right.
The big, huge movements. King was an outsider, and once he got some power, he started working inside the system. Gandhi, the outsider, because the only change comes from the bottom up.
Okay.
Change doesn't come from the top. The powerful aren't going to change.
Okay, Phil.
They're living too good.
Phil, you're crazy to call into the show, and we appreciate it.
Hey, Phil.
We're crazy on the show.
You're the most politically astute gentleman on radio.
Thank you, Phil. Keep calling.
Well, what I have to say is there was a special on Link TV that dealt with the Tea Party. It was called The Billionaire's Tea Party. It was a movie. Mm-hmm. And what they were showing was how the Tea Party is actually not what Americans think it is. It is actually being funded by the right.
Absolutely.
Sure. Fox,
of course it is.
News,
of
everybody
course.
From Fox News to Exxon is funding the Tea Party.
The Koch brothers especially.
And they are using the Tea Party as a mouthpiece for their policies, like the global warming and the energy policy and all this. And they're using people that are less politically sophisticated.
Right.
You have people that don't even know the difference between Marxism, socialism, and communism. And they're using these people that are not that politically sophisticated to get their point across, to say this is what the American people want. I think that's a big point, Terry, that's being missed, is that the Tea Party actually is being funded by the right.
Phil is absolutely right. And when I say reach out to the Tea Party, I don't mean reach out to their leaders.
No, I mean
reach out to the foot soldiers who are being misled,
and
the working class people who are being hurt by these policies.
Understand one other thing, too. I mean, we've been talking about people don't know their history. This right-wing movement is not something new. It has been going on for decades, if
centuries.
Not centuries.
Rome?
And specifically, in this country, all you have to do is go back to the 70s and everything else when the Birch Society was, you know, really raising its ugly head. That's where it really began.
In many ways, it's a reaction against the civil rights movement of the 60s.
Yeah, and I mean, this whole movement began in the 70s. This very specific movement began in the 70s and has been building. We've got to realize it is an entrenched unit, an entrenched movement. I'm not talking about negotiating with them. I'm talking creating a bigger movement so that they become irrelevant.
I'm with you, Terry.
Okay,
and
we're gonna get in here.
There's more people. We don't have to reach out to anybody. There are more people who agree with us. And if we state our principles,
they're called Americans.
And what we stand for, people will come with us. And those who are opposed will step aside because they don't agree with our fundamental principles.
I'm going to make a very bold statement here. You know, we are the patriots.
Well, of course,
the Tea Parties are not.
That's
patriotic
right.
Americans. They are not.
They're
Americans.
They're ultra nationalist. They have substituted nationalism
you
for patriotism.
You're on
the
air. Okay, you've only got a couple of minutes here. We're going to try to get you think and Stephanie in very quickly. Go ahead, you think.
For thousands of years,
a calm voice.
The river, the water in the Anacostia River was drinkable.
That's true.
Yeah. Within less than 500 years, now the river is dead.
Yeah.
Make a comment, please.
Well, you're talking about what capitalism has crossed. I don't know if you guys do any whitewater rafting. Have you ever gone to the Cheat River? It's a great river to whitewater rafting.
Love whitewater rafting.
You know, but one of the weird things is you're on the Cheat. The Cheat is absolutely sterile.
I'd like to swim in the Potomac.
There is no life in the Cheat River. It has been killed. It is sterile water. There's not bacteria. There's not fungus. There's nothing. Now, maybe it's cleaned up in the last few years. I haven't been there in quite a while.
Well, if we defund the EPA,
then that's corporate America. That's corporate America.
Let's get Stephanie in before we close.
Okay, Stephanie, jump in.
Yes, and it's interesting you mentioned the EPA because I do believe it was Nixon who started the EPA.
That's true.
Yes.
Yep, right.
And
he'd be considered a communist
today. I'm in my mid-40s, and I can remember Nixon, and I have watched the political spectrum in this country move further and further and further to the right, decade after decade. You know, whenever we manage to finally get a Democratic president in there, like Clinton and now Barack Obama, they compromise with an increasingly right-wing Republican Party.
Yep,
so Obama gets elected and he starts talking compromise. He saves all his harsh criticism for we on the left. were some of his strongest supporters. You know, his administration's representative called us crazy, called us retarded, and then apologized to people with mental disabilities, but not to liberals or progressives. So now that he's kicked off his campaign, he's talking like a progressive again. Well, what I want to know is, why can't the left put it to him the way the right has put it to the Republicans?
We have to help him. We have to push.
I don't think ourselves felt as the left.
You're right. Okay, real quickly, Garland.
It's garlandnixon@wpfw.org. If you agree with her and you think the left needs to make a move and the Raucous Caucus is ready to fight back with you and you're going to fight with us, email me.
You can also Facebook us. All three of us are on Facebook. You can communicate that way.
Yeah, Facebook, and also all three of us are on WPFW.org.
Right.
You know,
You think I'm going to have like three emails from the same person?
I think something may be starting here.
People are really upset. Yep,
you know, okay. We're running out of time, gentlemen. It has been my pleasure to be with
Mark Levine
and
Garland Nixon.
I am Terry D. Kester. This is the Raucous Caucus, WPFW.
Next week, we're at Ben's Next Door.
89.3 FM Pacifica. We will be at Ben's Next Door. We can start the movement right there.
You can come join us.
Sign up and
join
us.
Next Tuesday at 7, 1211 U Street. We'd love to see you. We really would.
Right next to Ben's Chili Bowl, 7 p.m.
We may save America. Good night.
You've been listening to another special edition of the Raucous Caucus, featuring Terry D. Kester, Mark Levine, and Garland Nixon. Brought to you live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica in Washington, D.C. Next week, we broadcast live from Ben's Next Door, courtesy of Nizam Ali and the entire staff at Ben's. We do so every second and fourth Tuesday of the month, and the fifth Tuesday of the month, too, if and when there is one, if and when justice and controversy prevail. Thanks, as always, to the entire staff at WPFW, especially our engineers Drew Franklin and Dave Kelly. You can find Terry, Mark, or Garland on each of their Facebook pages. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Raucous Caucus. Join us in person next week at Ben's Next Door, and stay tuned to WPFW 89.3 FM, always for jazz and justice. And next, Brother Ah and the Jazz Collectors. Why can't I live?